Hi, I'm Dave Meltzer, live at the National Restaurant Association show, and I'm with Daniel Diaz, the CEO of F3 Technologies, here with Entrepreneurs, The Playbook. Daniel, welcome to The Playbook.
Thank you for having me, man.
Well, you know, I've been doing this for over 10 years, 2,600 different interviews from Cameron Diaz down to Daniel Diaz, but
honor.
It's all the same because it's about your playbook to success. And one thing I've learned through the 2,600 interviews that I've done is there's no straight line to success. My background is so varied, from technology, you know, my first exit in 95 in legal research online, to middleware, to hardware, to then becoming CEO of the most notable sports agency, Samsung CEO of their data division of their phone. I never knew. I'm looking at your background. You too have a very skewed line to success.
I do.
Walk me through your background, but pertaining to your capability, your skills and knowledge that you ascertained, whether it was medical marijuana or some of the other non-linear successful steps that you've taken.
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of done a lot of things. I've been a bartender, bar manager, made the mistake of owning a bar at about 25, which was a great
time. Kill you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my wife still loves me, so I got that going for me.
Yeah, you do.
You know, went to cannabis hospital and healthcare IT, did that whole thing. And then, you know, worked at Toast. And what I've realized that every single place I've been in my life has given me those skills that I didn't know I had to then use to further myself into my career and to creating F3 and taking those bits and pieces that I've learned from different people, different leadership styles, to then use them to be a better boss and to kind of just not stop working, right? I'm a big believer, if you don't stop working, you can't lose.
Right, me too.
And so,
you know, you stay in business, that's the key.
Yeah, you just don't stop, right? It's the marathon mantra as well, as it's don't stop, keep going. And so I've taken different spots of my life and just kind of become a leader. And where I fell on something else and I took a loss, don't make that mistake again and just keep going further.
You know, I have a saying, nobody likes feedback in the present. There's always a lapse of time between feedback and the appreciation of the feedback, just the same as there's always a lapse of time between a problem and a resolution. It's just time that exists. When you receive feedback today, obviously you have a different perspective from when you were 25 running your first
car. Absolutely.
We both know the value of feedback. How has that impacted the way you give feedback, knowing now how we receive feedback and how valuable it is?
Yeah, I try not to create villains. You know, like, I am okay with being a villain in someone's story, but I don't want to create a villain that I'm going to have to, you know, go up against for something else in the future. But, like, I just try to give feedback that's just honest and pure. And I'm very blunt. You know, I don't like to fluff things around. I don't waste time. As an entrepreneur, you know that. Like, time is money, but time is also, like, thinking power, right? So I just very bluntly, but also, how can we use what's already happened to make a different decision in the future? So, like, look at the different point of views. You have this outcome, you have this outcome, you have this outcome. Okay, so you're leaning towards this way. Why? Why are you not at least looking at the other two options so that way you can make a better decision about whatever may be going on, right? If you can look at it from all three point of views or multiple point of views, you can then take those pieces and make a better decision, stack the deck in your favor. You know, that's life, that's entrepreneurship. You're stacked. But can you take that stack down a little bit more to help you and lower those odds of failure or defeats? You have to have an open mind, and feedback's critical for that.
It seems to me that energy is very important. I know through your varied career that people you had mentioned and the frequency of people, meaning their vibration, their energy, are super important. I can see how you're utilizing some sort of framework to make sure that you're surrounding yourself with the right energy. And you're shortening the distance of resistance from certain things maybe in the past that you and I have allowed to energetically interfere with our best potential, our best selves. What is your philosophy about surrounding yourself with the right energy?
Yeah, I feel as though if you don't want to keep trying to win or advance yourself personally or professionally, I really don't want to be around you. And I know that sounds kind of mean, but it's a life lesson. You know, I don't have time for someone that's going to be sitting there doing the same thing they were doing 10 years ago, 15 years ago. No, I want to see my circle around me keep growing and succeeding and winning. And that's people like Sean. You clearly have done it, right? But you know the importance of that circle, because that circle also defines you. If you're hanging out with people that don't want to progress and don't want to go further, there's a time and place for that. But as you grow and as you're become an adult, a father, a husband, that all defines who you are, and character speaks volume.
Character is something that's revealed a lot of times, can be built, but it's revealed a lot of times in the times that are most challenging. You did mention, you know, these teams that we surround ourselves with. One of the things about those teams is I always say within the context of the teams you're playing on, subject matter, topic, or expertise. So you could have a toast team, you could have a podcast team, you could have a family team, whatever is most important to you, that it's really important to know your who on these teams. And when I say know your who, I always say it's the fastest way to help us get to where we want to be. You're very aware of who is on your team by knowing these people that want to be, or what I call the common denominator of success. They must be what they can be. But there's also other members of the team in the who, because we get to where we want to be by helping others get to where they want to be. So knowing that getting from A to B is a private lesson, you want that desire to be what you must be. But we also have the people on the team that are already in a situation that we want to be in.
Yeah.
Because knowing who sits in the situation we want to be in also accelerates as much as helping other people get to where they want to be. How much of a role has this humble perspective of mentorship, that no matter how successful we are, I have coaches, I have mentors, and I have teachers. What are you looking for in a coach or mentor or teacher according to your subject, topics, or expertise?
You know, someone who has gone through some of the same things I have. You know, I'm a big believer of, I will share the advice I've gone through with new entrepreneurs or just starting off people, like, that we don't have to make the same mistakes that I made, right? I want that back for me. And as I progress with F3, that comes kind of a hard way to get that information, because we're doing something completely different than most people will ever do. And our approach to business is different too. And so it's got a little small of a list there, but I'm looking for honest, good feedback, critical feedback. Like, it's going to suck, but give it to me. But also just, they know the story of what they've been through and how they've come up. They understand the chaos that entrepreneurs go through. And it is chaos. I had no gray hair 6 years ago.
Right.
And now I'm fully gray in the hair and everything. So just looking for someone that really understands the chaos, because, you know, it's like when you talk to your buddy about your sports teams that suck at the time, right? They understand the misery, but they also understand the wins. And so that's, I think, the best mentor you could ever have.
One of the other things along the way in the playbook to success is a reconciliation between progress and perfection, between process and outcomes. And a lot of people, I think, get confused, even people that have a desire to be what they must be, between these outcomes comparatively, that I'll be happy when, that my life is indicated by whatever I deem to be a success. So this idea of surrender, I don't know how much you've, you know, delved into the idea of letting things go and surrendering, but I believe there's a ton of persistence in surrendering. And it's a very active role that we play. We can't just sit at home, you know, high on our mom's couch, sick and broken, dreaming about what we want, meditating in front of a vision board. We actually have to take action.
Yeah.
How have you been able to reconcile this idea of surrendering with the active pursuit of your potential?
You know, I am a big chip on the shoulder kind of guy. You know, I'm a college dropout. And when I first got into IT, I would get passed over for jobs. I'm a CCNP. I've been in IT self-taught, but I understand IT in ways that could have got me in trouble when I was younger, right?
Right, right.
But because I didn't have that degree, I wasn't given those interviews, or I was passed out for that job. And so I'm a chip on the shoulder kind of guy. So I'll take the losses, but that's just like, okay, watch me. Here we go. Watch me next. See what comes this way now, because I'm not going to stop. Again, I'm not going to quit working. You might outspend me. You might outflash me, and that's fine, but you're not going to outwork me. And so my surrender is, I'll take that loss, whatever it may be, but I'm coming back. I'm going to come back harder.
Yeah. Now they're asking you to teach those classes at the universities that you dropped out of. I love it when I go back to Stanford, especially because they rejected me for undergrad and law school. Oh. And now they pay me to speak there. I love it. There is justice and experience. IT is changing so fast.
Yeah.
That the situational knowledge and experience of taking the reps while technology was changing what used to be considered fast,
yeah,
and now is considered slow.
Yep.
You know, I was there in 92, so dial-up service, XT computers were considered really fast.
Yeah.
When you could, you know, in 15 minutes, bring up case law in reverse chronological order, cut and paste it into WordPerfect 5.1, people were amazed. Now they would die of boredom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the whole thing is it's all changed vastly, and I've seen it myself in networking. I can command prompt code a switch, but now you don't have to do that.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
Knowing how quickly IT is changing, how do you protect your business? Where's the variable that protects the business from the fact that some of the things that you may do, everybody may be able to do tomorrow in 3 seconds?
You know, I think because we are a unique niche IT company, for us, it's the hospitality aspect.
Yeah.
Our customers know that they're always going to get 110% from each and every F3 employee and from myself. I'm notorious for going on site, you know, and doing stuff because I like to get my hands dirty, but also to show my techs, like, I can do this too. But I think our hospitality is really what sets us apart. It's why it's made us the number one implementation company for most of our partners. We are their go-to for a lot of things. And I love that about us. It speaks volumes about our character and our integrity, but also that, again, they have someone they can call. And you can't, ChatGPT is not going to give it to you that way. They're not going to, you know, answer their phone at 4 o'clock in the morning. They're not going to hold your hand. They're not going to bus tables if they have to.
Right.
You know, but we will. We have.
It's so smart. And I always say when there is a mistake or a problem, which will always exist in technology, it's an opportunity.
Yeah.
Because you can set yourself apart. You know, the key to success are to have people buy from you for life, but most importantly, sell for you for life as well. And when you're able to resolve in quick fashion, or at least in honest, transparent fashion, a technology problem, your exponential value rises immediately because the amount of fear that's involved when things go down and the amount of money that's involved. Have you learned any personality tips from managing so many people in technology? When things go wrong, you know, kind of like a first responder, you need to assess, but you also need to calm everybody down.
Yeah.
And I believe that you guys are first responders a lot of times, except for emotionally, people are on fire, not physically on fire.
Yeah. It's, you know, it goes back to being a bartender, right? As a bartender, you're able to read people, and you can, if you freak out, they're freaking out. So just being calm. Even in the middle, I'll never forget, Black Wednesday is a big drinking holiday here in Chicago. We have a large bar about 3 miles south of us called 115 Bourbon Street.
Yep.
They went completely down on Black Wednesday. Their biggest night of the year.
Completely black.
Yeah, they did. They blacked out. And getting those phone calls, I was like, I'll be right there. And like, just, you have to maintain that sense of calm, the energy that you give out will be reflected. And yeah, you might have an angry chef. You may have an angry manager, but like if you stay calm in that situation, but that's just people in general. If you come in high flying, you get, you get more bees with honey than vinegar, right?
Yeah.
You got to be calm.
So smart. And understanding that this wisdom is different than knowledge. So a lot of times in IT, people are well-trained, just like a doctor.
Uh-huh.
But the doctors that do very well that I work with, as well as the IT people that do very well, they have certain philosophies that they've either learned from mentors or even reading. Is there a certain source for you, because you have such a strong mindset that has made you successful? I get to see these commonalities all the time, and you have the stereotypical mindset of a successful person. Can't outwork me. I'm honest, calm, at ease. But where did you learn these philosophies? Are there certain books or podcasts or...
Honestly, it was just, again, taking those pieces from the bosses that I had, what I liked and what I didn't like. And, you know, like, I remember one of the things my dad taught me was, he was like, you know, I may not be the best father, but I want you to be better than me. So take what you don't like from me, change that, and take what you do like from me and make it better. And so I took that advice to heart, and it's just like, be a better boss from these different people. And I have a mentor named Jeff Nichols over at Alden, and he's cool as a cucumber. This man's in charge of 48 nursing home networks and all their data and all this HIPAA stuff. And he, I don't think I saw him yell once in 5 years.
Yeah.
And things were on fire.
Right.
But he was the Fonz. And so like that to me was perfect. Because if, again, if you freak out, people freak out.
Yeah.
Just, again, taking those little bits and pieces, what I want to be like, what I don't want to be like, and just shedding what I don't want to be like.
Working with so many bigger companies and implementing for them, you have to have a open-ended architecture of learning yourself, because you have to learn other people's businesses and their technology. How difficult is it to, not for you to learn, but for you to communicate and empower, because your teams are so exceptional. You know, the companies that you work with, the proof is in their success. Yeah. You're up and running, you get up and running back faster, and your customers are satisfied and happy. But it's not easy to scale employees on your own solution, let alone variant solutions. What's been one of the things in acquiring talent, developing it, that has helped you to be able to scale?
Yeah. So we are very, very big on our training content. I think we've redone it probably 9 times at this point in our 6 years, because we want to make sure it is perfected.
Yeah.
Because that training content lays the foundation. But also the big part of it too is our recruiting. We look for that certain type of go out there and don't stop, who want, they're hungry for that chance to get out of the industry or whatever it may be, like, or come to us. So we take the two of them, and it's very hard. People managing sucks.
Yeah.
But like, recruiting sucks even more. You know, you think you have a great candidate, it doesn't work out. You think you have a bad candidate, it does work out, right? But training and investing in ourselves was so key for us. And I, you know, I'm glad I never took an investment ever. But I was able to take the money I would have paid myself and put it back into F3, and it was into the infrastructure, into the training. You know, I'm lucky enough as well that, like, I was a trainer at Toast. And then one of my best friends, Dan Dickerson, was the guy who was training all the installers at Toast.
Ooh.
So we'd sit on the phone or on Zoom, and we'd have a couple of drinks while he's writing the training content. I'm helping him. And then they would ship back them out to Chicago and shadow me. And so we helped write the playbook. And then I'm like, all right, so we tweaked it for ourselves. And it's the F3 playbook. Now Dan Dickerson works for me. He's in charge of our IT division. And we took what we wrote and what we knew and enhanced it. And so any of our partners, we're always like, give us your training material. We're going to break it. We're going to give you some feedback. You're not going to like it, but we're going to make it our way.
It's an evolution, not a revolution, when it comes to IT. The best in the implementation business is F3. If you want to learn more about how to utilize not only the best in technology, but the best in humanality, it's people like my friend Daniel Diaz, CEO of F3 Technologies. We are here at the National Restaurant Association show. I'm David Meltzer. This is Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.